Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahulastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Phoenix. Please welcome a man who's the only person in the world to be a champion of champions of both House of Games and Taskmaster. It's Richard Herring! Champion of champions. I've won pointless on the fourth attempt. Done every round. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd love to see you all. Thank you for coming. Welcome to Richard Herring's Limitlessly Superior Taskmasterer podcast. I won. I can talk about it. It's been about 8 months since we did that, so well done to anyone who's in the audience who didn't let on. But I am the best, and Ed Gamble is the worst, and that is... To be honest, if Ed Gamble had come last, that would have been enough for me. That would have been a win. I wasn't paying attention after that. Though, I was talking to the Sinclair C5 Owners Club the other day. Remember the Sinclair C5? I mean, you're much too young to remember it. It was all right, actually, and ahead of its time. If you laughed at that, you're a fool. They call it Rahulastapa, so I don't know if that's going to... Oh, that's going to catch on. Things are going all right. I'm thinking of starting to take my comedy career seriously. That's a decision I've made 30 years in. My natural talent, it's not fair to put in an effort to the other comedians because I'm so naturally talented at comedy, but maybe I owe it to my fans to up my game. But my fans are quite stupid, though, and might not be able to keep up if I move up a level. So don't worry, idiots, I'm only thinking about it. I'll let you know when I start moving up a gear. I've been out running again. I ran a 10K yesterday in the I'm a bit tired in the sunshine up loads of hills in Hertfordshire. But it made me think. I was watching myself on Taskmaster and thinking I was quite thin back in September last year because I was training for a half marathon. So I've decided this year to run 2 half marathons in a week. It's a marathon, isn't it? If it's two,
just with a little gap in between for me to have a rest. So if you're interested in helping to kill me, justgiving.com/monoball2, and I'm going to raise money for Movember. And hopefully they'll, if they can raise enough money, they can start up an international men's day. Because there is never, there would wouldn't be allowed, would it? That's the thing. You wouldn't be allowed. If we raise enough money, though, they'll have to do it. Anyway, look, we're going to crack straight on. So, my guest this week is probably best known for being in the band Pubic Cube. That's why we're here tonight. Hopefully he'll do some of the numbers from that. Will you please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Cunt from Cunt and the Gang. Here he is. I always have trouble getting... You're much taller than I thought you would be. I thought you would be small.
No, it's the internet squashes you down.
Is it? Is that what it is?
Well, a man say that to me in a bar earlier on in Fenchurch Street.
Right. You come across... You know, you remind me... This won't mean anything to you. You look like a cross between Phil Fry and Dave Smith. They're just two of my friends from school. But yeah, that's exactly what you look like. So
oh,
they
good.
Were both small guys, so I was expecting you to be small.
It's because I'm very humble. So a lot, yeah...
That's very good. Pubic Cube, that was what was...
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah. I mean, you've done you were in a few bands before. Cunt
yeah.
Gang. I mean, if you can call Cunt and Gang a band, because it's just you and a puppet, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's more than one person,
it
right?
Is, that's very
if you do it properly, it's more than one person.
That's true. That is true. What? I've been listening to your audiobook, which is called I Cunt.
Yep.
You know, it took a little while to hit the formula that you've got to, and it took the arrival of the internet, really, didn't it?
Definitely,
that to take off. So, can you tell us anything about Pubic Cube? Is there very much?
Pubic
to say?
Cube is like a two-piece synth pop,
right?
Comedy outfit, but we didn't really know what we were doing, and there was nowhere for us to play, so we just kind of would go around these talent competitions that were in Essex pubs. And there'd sort of be about 30 people there, and there'd be like some bloke who looked like John Bon Jovi singing Nights in White Satin. And then like a pair of pushy parents with their teenage daughter singing Celine Dion. Some fucking terrible local magician. And then us just going on and singing Take That a Cunts.
And how did you get on in those? You did all right, though, didn't you?
Well, half the people loved it and half the people hated it. Yeah. But the people that hated it just made them really angry.
So, Cunt and the Gang. I mean, it's an interesting name to choose for yourself. But I think it's a bit, actually, a moment of genius to do that, because you're sort of covered, aren't you? Because your stuff isn't to everyone's taste, and some people might find what you do offensive. I don't know if you realise that.
Prudes.
But if you're called Cunt and the Gang, they can't really complain, can they? I came to see Cunt and the Gang, and it was not what I was expecting.
Oh, but you know what? In Edinburgh, you'd be surprised. In Edinburgh, because obviously doing like the free fringe gigs, you get a lot of people who just turn up with their mates or, you know, because it's free and kind of come in.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there were some really, like, grumpy-looking people, and it you know, when you sort of look out and see people like with their arms crossed, and they just kind of get higher and higher and higher as the gig goes on. So I started doing like a three-song amnesty.
Yeah.
And I said, look, this is called Cunt and the Gang. You know, if you come to see a German orchestra, Cunt und der Gang, you're mistaken. If you don't like it within three songs, fuck off and no one's going to say anything. But if you're here after three songs, look like you're enjoying it. Otherwise, I'm singling you out.
And reading the book, you grew up in Essex, Basildon, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously the Depeche Mode came from there. There's a little bit of Depeche Mode influence in your music, I would say. It's
yeah, very much so. Yeah.
What? There is. I mean, arguably they've been more successful with it than you have, but only. I mean,
well,
it's
you
close.
Know, but I haven't finished yet. Yeah. They've just lost a member. I'm still here.
That's true.
I'm available.
Yeah, you're available. We can come together. Depeche Cunts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you, it seems like you, comedy was also the real kind of influence. You sort of, in your book, you talk about liking The Young Ones.
Yeah, The Young Ones and Filthy Rich and Cat Flap. Yeah. And, you know, the 70s sitcoms, Rising Damp and Fawlty Towers. Yeah.
Again, you don't look old enough. I didn't think you're sort of about the same age as me. You look very...
Yeah, mid-30s.
Is that your own hair? Yeah, got a good thick head of hair there.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. It's my... I can't. I'm not going to give you any secrets because you'll copy the look.
And Viz, I think, like you, because I remember in Viz, you talk about going to see the Mac Lads, who I never saw, but they were always in. They were always mentioned in Viz.
Yeah, that's where I found out about Viz.
Yeah. So that's kind of the. It feels like the genesis of your stuff might have come from that influence, which I think a lot of comedians of our generation, Viz is.
Yeah, I mean, Viz was, completely integral in sort of, you know, giving you something to kind of just snigger about at school that the teachers wouldn't like, you know.
And it's and so was that, and the Mac Lads, again, were quite a rude and offensive, right? It was all about shagging and drinking, basically, wasn't it?
They were quite out there.
Yeah.
Some of it hasn't dated so well.
I mean, some of your stuff probably hasn't dated that well either, but... you can't. The thing is, you can't say anything these days, can you? You can't. You can't say anything. So, what do you think made you want to go down this route of? I mean, because it's. I love it. It's because the stuff you're doing is offensive, but there's a real wit behind it, and also the character is sort of so vulnerable, and also there's a soft side to cunt. and it's sort of quite right. It's sort of quite right on, actually, isn't it? Underneath it all, it's.
I don't know. I mean, because people always sort of say, like, well, where's the line? Is there anywhere you wouldn't go? But it's sort of not as simple as that. Is if you find a funny angle on something bleak, then you've just got to go. You've got to go with it.
Yeah. And well, I find it interesting because, like, I think when you're presented with tragedy, there's two ways to go, which is either to be very sad or to try and laugh your way through it a little bit, which seems to be for you.
Yeah.
Because obviously, Tiny Cunt is. Oh, I didn't know this till I read your biography. But you.
I mean, little Cunt. Tiny Cunt sounds even worse. That's a new member.
might be better. But you had a twin brother, so you actually had which you didn't know about for a long time. But you had a twin brother who died in before you were born, right?
Yeah.
And so you've turned him into this is sort of a tribute to him as much as anything. This
I
character.
Mean, it's not really, is it?
Well. I mean, you know, he did. He's only a fetus. He didn't, you know.
Yeah,
but he
exactly.
Is,
yeah.
But,
yeah, very, very presumptuously. Yes, yeah. It's what he would have wanted.
Well, you know, it's hard to. We're getting into an argument that is quite current if we're not careful. But and then also, I think yours is the second book I've read where somebody you know has died in. I mean, presumably the famous ferry disaster with the Zeebrugge. So a girlfriend of yours died in.
I mean,
is that true?
I think it'd be a real stretch to say a girlfriend.
Well, a girl.
You know, a girl I met on holiday and had designs towards.
But then to turn it into, you know, sort of silly, childish, puerile humour is an interesting way to go. But it does give it. It also gives it an undercurrent of. You know.
But I think that's the thing with, you know, that's what I think makes comedy songs work, mm-hmm. is at the heart of them you just have a grain of truth, and it doesn't matter how far you move away from that grain of truth. If there's a grain of truth in there, then people will feel it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the
apart from Wank the Dog.
I mean, all of them. I mean, I've been... They're too cat. The songs are too catchy. I've been just walking around singing Paperboy, Paperboy. And it's not. It's just fine until you finish it off, so to speak. But even that song is actually about how wrong it would be to to rape a boy. So it is. You know, it's a song with a strong moral.
Yeah.
Against.
But that's That's what I love doing, is promoting this idea and then at the end of it saying, well, of course, you shouldn't do that. But you can cheat with comedy songs. You can cheat and you can use those kind of advert melodies, you know, like the Shake and Vac.
Yeah.
Because if you were Coldplay or someone proper, you'd never get away with using those kind of cheesy major chord melodies.
Yeah.
But yeah, with comedy songs, you can get away with using them, but they really just stick in your head.
They do, but they're great songs, and they lyrically are, you know, there's so much, as well as being childish and offensive, there's so much, you know, A Lonely Wank in a Travelodge, which I can listen to. I can honestly listen to that endlessly. It's one of those songs I can go back to. The other one is Tim Minchin's song about Phil Doust. I can go back to that song, and every time I hear it, and same with the Travelodge, I'll just laugh as much as the first time you heard it. I think because as a comedian, it really resonates.
But that's one of those. It's quite relentlessly bleak, isn't it?
It is. But there's the line about wanking in the mirror and watching yourself cry. But the way it's expressed is rather beautiful. So do listen to that. we're whisking through your work, so it's and we will get on to talking about the more recent stuff. But I was interested. Well, there's lots of interesting, because I think you are. You have your cake and eat it, I suppose. But like in the audiobook, you kind of reveal that you're a vegetarian, which might surprise people. But you don't kind of bang on about it, apart from in the audiobook.
Yeah, no, I don't like to make a big thing about it, apart from in the audiobook. Yeah,
but it's an interesting reason. So you know, your friend worked in an abattoir.
Yeah, I had a mate when we were kids. You know, sort of teenagers, when worked in an abattoir, and would come back with Easter. Yeah, you never guess what we've done today, you know, like, and sort of a nail for a baseball bat. And you're just like, just some awful, awful stories.
Yeah.
And you just kind of think, I don't know, like, I mean, they're basically like the farms and abattoirs are like concentration camps for animals, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, and sort of once you kind of get your head around that, just didn't really see any option other than to kind of give it up.
Yeah. But again, I think people, because I think what's interesting, I think, is, you know, they had one tweet from someone saying, how can you put this guy on? You know, he's done this song about whatever it was about, right? So
what one was that?
It was about you raping someone with a table leg, I think is what they said. But I've not heard that song.
It was a hypothetical sex worker. I didn't actually do it.
Well, that's...
And if I had, I was drunk at the time.
I mean, I didn't bother replying to him, but I kind of thought, you know, yeah, there's I wouldn't have someone on if I knew that they'd done that.
Well, if I had done it, I'd keep it really quiet so I could get on... So I could get on Rehulistapur.
It would be, you know, be good for me if you did admit that on here, but I mean, no, it would be bad. It would be awful for everyone. It's what was I saying? Where was I going? But but I think because, you know, you're genuinely a working class guy from Essex, and there's a sort of there's a snobbishness the other way, right? Though those write on people in a way, then they're being prejudiced, I think, in terms of why is this guy daring to, you know, do this kind of awful kind of comedy? I think there's a sort of middle class.
I don't know. I mean, as a white bloke, you can't start complaining about being a minority. Did you hear Gary Lineker say the other day that he got to take the mickey out of school for having dark skin? He got racial prejudice towards him. And like, if you're a white bloke and you start complaining about what a terrible time you've had, it's just not really the dumb thing, is it?
It isn't, but I think, you know...
But I have. It's been awful.
But there aren't many, you know, there aren't many genuine kind of working class voices, certainly within the alternative comedy, you know, as much as...
Me and Jim Davidson.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's interesting, and that, you know, and writing, again, writing, it reminds me of Lemmy's autobiography, your autobiography, not only because you talk about wanking a lot in it, but you know, it's a voice of someone that you don't usually hear in comedy and in books as well, I think, Presumably, do you self-publish? Is it self-published?
Does it? Is it that obvious?
Yeah. Well, no, just because I think it would be, you know, it would be. It's hard to see who would.
No, but I mean, that's completely the thing. All the way through, I've released my own albums and self-published the book because no one's going to touch it with a shitty stick, are they? Because it's got the cunt word all over it. And even if it's spelt with a K, when you sort of say it, it sort of sounds like the C version.
Yeah, it does. That's you know, that hadn't struck me before. Now you say it. I wrote a book called Talking Cock, and then it wasn't until we put it in the bookshops we realised no one would put it in the window because it had the word cock in it. So it is, you know, it's a commercial decision, but I guess the internet coming along, and it was the timing of it was pretty much perfect for you. Maybe it could have been a bit early.
Yeah.
So that you were able to use MySpace and stuff initially, which dates it.
Yeah.
But do you remember MySpace? Do you know what that is? Yeah, you know. Yeah. but that's the perfect way to, you know, you've created this amazing audience of people for what you're doing.
But when kind of social media come along, you know, in the sort of golden days of social media,
yeah,
it meant that you could kind of cut out all the filters that were between you and the audience. Yeah. So you could kind of go straight to the people that would enjoy it. And I always felt like I was writing, you know, even when we'd done the talent competitions and half the people hated it, you could see that there was an audience there for it. Yeah. But playing like working men's clubs and pubs, it's hard, you know, it's really fucking hard work and it's dangerous as well.
Yeah.
But on the internet, you know, but you just kind of found that people would kind of gravitate towards it and would also tell their mates about it. And that kind of word of mouth thing that would happen, you know, it would just happen much quicker. So people would share your stuff and tell their mates about it. And then, you know, obviously until kind of the social media companies worked out that they could monetize you speaking to your fans, it was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, again, you were one of the, as you say in the book, you were kind of an early person within the first year of YouTube. Your stuff was going up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really much competition there at that point.
No, it was like YouTube was basically you've been framed up until up until then. It was, you know, just like fat blokes getting out of swimming pools and their trunks coming down and cats playing the piano and then... Yeah. But there was a kid beat me onto YouTube with a video to one of my songs. It was like this 14-year-old kid made a video for Have a Wank. and he put it up on his YouTube channel, and you saw all these other videos had like 1,500 hits, and this had like 150,000 hits. But you know that it was all just like men with their aubergines who would have liked a 14-year-old boy singing about having a wank with his cat.
It's an audience. That's the thing. They're still paying money. If it keeps them off the streets, that's not such a bad thing. And look, I remember you retiring in 2016. I was I've always been a fan of your stuff, and I was quite disappointed that you were giving up. Was that a genuine feeling that it was time to end it, or was it?
Yeah. I just I'd done Paperboy.
Yeah.
And
thought, I can't top that.
No,
it's time to leave.
I don't know. I think at the time, I'd got stuck in this kind of idea that every tour and every album, you had to kind of raise the bar.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of be more edgy and worse and worse and worse. And then, you know, when you write a song like Paperboy, you sort of think, well, where do I actually go? Where do I actually go from here? And also, like, I'd done lots of gigs, and I, you know, over the 15 or so years I was gigging, I was playing exactly the same venues as when I started, but just to more people.
Yeah.
And so it just becomes a bit like you feel like you're hitting your head up against a brick wall, just playing the same stuff over and over.
Yeah.
You know. But obviously, you know, a couple of years away. And just I realised what a fucking wanker I was giving it all up.
Yeah.
You know, having to go and do tiling and painting for my mate. And it's like real life's fucking rubbish.
Yeah.
It's really hard work.
It is.
And you don't get much money for it.
You don't. It's good. And then, but what you've come back with, I mean, it feels like genuinely satirical, well, subversively and satirical, because it's... Even as basic and childish as it is to say Boris Johnson is a fucking cunt, it's sort of, you know, to have someone, it's a little bit like the boy standing up in front of the crowd and going, the king has no clothes on. It's just, it needs someone to say it. And obviously the response to that And Prince Andrew is the sweaty nonce, which was emblazoned all over Glastonbury.
Did you say the big flag?
Yeah, I saw the big flag. I saw the graffiti. So it you know, it's simple, but you know, to actually decide I'm going to go up against, you know, the dross that comes out at Christmas and put these Christmas songs out, but also the message is one of subversion. It's not exactly a change of direction, because I think there's always that element to it, but it does feel like proper, you know, social satire, or sort of satire from a social point of view. Yeah.
I suppose so. Yeah. But I mean, I think anyone that's kind of followed Boris Johnson's work throughout his career would sort of come to that conclusion. Yeah. and so, yeah, I mean, it wasn't something that was massively pre-planned, and it sort of, yeah, it sort of came about quite organically in the just before lockdown. So I wrote the book in 2018, and then did a Kickstarter to fund it, because I was painting and tiling for my mate and had just basically run out of cash. Mm-hmm. And people funded the book, and then when you kind of reach your funding goal, someone said to me, you should do a stretch goal with like another aim. And so I said, what I'd always wanted to do was just to make an album of punk stuff, you know, like the same songs, but just in a kind of punk setting with like a 4-piece band. And so I did that as a stretch goal, and then reached the funding, and then it took kind of like 18 months to get a band together. You know, it's a big fucking pain in the arse getting a band together when you're in your kind of mid-30s like me.
Because I believe it.
Because everyone's got wives and families, you know, and commitments. But eventually got the band together, recorded the punk album, and the last song to go on it was the Boris Johnson is a fucking cunt one. And then, in sort of September before the Christmas, Ginger from the Wild Hearts, band the Wild Hearts, just tweeted a link to Boris Johnson is a fucking cunt on Spotify and put Christmas number one ? And it just sort of sowed the seeds of the idea. And then Charlie Brooker tweeted it. At the end of October, and so I just kind of had a word with a couple of mates and said, do you think we should do this? And everyone was largely like, fuck it, just do it. And and then it just kind of snowballed from there.
And where did it get to? It didn't get to number, or did it get, there's so many different charts and so many different ways of judging stuff.
No, it got number 5 in the proper charts. Behind like Wham, Mariah Carey, that sausage roll cunt.
Yeah. I mean, he's less popular than Boris Johnson. That's got more round applause than Boris Johnson. It's a cunt. I mean, you've taken against Lad. Is it Lad Baby, or you call him Baby Lad, don't you?
Baby Lad is the real my one. Alter ego of Lad Baby. Right. No, it's not so much I've taken against him, but there's been a lot of smoke and mirrors in the, you know, meanwhile, while releasing all these charity songs and getting pictured outside food banks and recording with the food bank choir, he's become a millionaire.
Right.
And he wasn't a millionaire before he started making charity songs. And, you know, I'm not saying he's been stuffing the cash in his pockets.
Good. Glad you're not saying that. And the BBC, obviously, like when any of these songs are on, they're not really playing. They're not playing them, are they?
No. The thing that I mean, I didn't really realise this is that the BBC sort of filter their news to you by not telling you things. And that's the thing that I found really weird, is they just find a way of just not letting anyone know that it exists. Even when it's number 5 in the charts, calling the Prime Minister a fucking cunt, I think is a story, you know, but they didn't report on it. Like, and I know it's called the cunts, and I know it's got the C word all over it, and it's referring to the Prime Minister, but surely there's a way, if your audience are intelligent, which I think the people that read BBC News and follow the BBC News are intelligent, so they should be credited with the intelligence to be able to filter out what news that, you know, if they don't like it, they can just click on something else. But to not tell them about it just feels a bit weird.
It does. It feels like it's a story. You did really? Did you give them a clean version of it? And if so, what the hell is the clean version of it?
The clean version was called Boris Johnson is a sausage roll.
Okay. That's good. Oh, that's fine. That should be allowed. And how did the so you did it for a second Christmas with still if Boris Johnson's still a fucking cunt?
Yeah, the year later did Boris Johnson is still a fucking cunt.
And then you've done a Jubilee, Prince Andrew is a sweaty nonce.
He is.
Yeah. How did it do? How did that wonder? Did you get
that got to number 20?
Right.
But I mean it was one of those things where you know the press sort of really just did their best to ignore it, and there was some really weird stuff happened. My YouTube got taken down.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like the week of release. Like I was just about to release the video, and the YouTube went, and my YouTube got killed 10 years ago when I did a song about the royal family. I'm not, you know, the thing is, if you talk about these things, you sound like a fucking mentalist. But surely it's a bit of a coincidence, like, you know, because my channel was in good health. I had one warning about wank fantasy from 2 years ago. from when upskirting went out of fashion. Right. Oh, it's not okay, is it?
It's not okay.
anymore.
But, you know, in a sense, you are documenting a side of society.
From a different angle.
But, you know, but your career shows things that were acceptable and unacceptable. And, you know, you are very critical. It's not like, you know, you're very critical of the Operation U-Tree, people who are in Operation U-Tree, which, you know, is probably the right angle to take, right? If it was like Rolf Harris is okay, you know, it would be, come on, he's done, he didn't do anything that bad. That would be wrong, but you're critical of the...
Yeah, there's no good old Rolf and good old Jimmy and the good old days of the BBC green rooms. There's none of that. You know, obviously it's a terrible thing, but you've got, you know, I think you've, you know, these terrible fucking things that happen, you've got to just find an angle to laugh about it because... The easiest thing is to just not talk about it and sweep it under the carpet, and you know, and ultimately, you know, you just look at Jimmy Savile now and you look at Rolf, and they just look so noncey. Like, how did no one notice? Just look at the fucking state of them. Like they let them hang around hospitals and sick kids looking like that, and you just.
Well, yeah, but, you know, by pointing these things up, I mean, it doesn't have to be like, you know, it's not like people haven't realised it themselves, but it's, you know, it's I think it's a satirical thing. It's really important to talk about these things. I think there's something about the... Again, there's jokes that you can do that I think... And there's lines you can take out of context. There are things, I think, in your work that I go, oh, you know, makes you go, oh.
Yeah,
like
no,
paperboy, you know. And the rest of that, you're going to go, oh, but you still laugh when it comes up because it's so audacious. I think the juxtaposition of the jauntiness and also the character. I think the character's so cheeky and innocent, really.
That's something that I noticed quite early on. Is if you kind of, you know, like wear a ridiculous suit and make yourself look ridiculous, you can kind of come across like a kids' TV presenter.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're sort of going like this to people, you know. You get away with a lot less.
It's content, you know, but I think, you know, it reminds me of Jerry Sadovitz, who is another comedian I absolutely adore, but who says things that actually make me feel a bit sick. They're so, you know, and I think he means some of it as well. So, like, but as a theatrical experience, that's quite, you know, I want to go and see it and I want him to be allowed to say it. Some of it makes me upset. But again, you can't go, oh, hold on, I've been laughing for an hour at all this other stuff and now you've crossed the line for me. You know, that's crazy. So you're creating an environment which I think comedy can do, and it certainly, you know, the internet can do, a comedy club can do, where you're saying, this is the joke, we're going to talk about anything within this, and if you don't want to have it, don't. If this isn't your thing, keep out.
Yeah.
But it's not nasty, and I think there's lots of stuff in it that is actually...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quite noble and moral. And there's a lot of stuff that isn't. but it is, you know, it's, I find it fascinating that, you know, because you can't, if I was to argue with that guy on Twitter, I didn't bother, but I can't really say, well, you know, I think that's actually okay in this case, because most comedians I go, that is what he said there is not okay.
But you'd never come out right at the start of a show and say, talk about breaking a chair leg off and sticking up someone.
No.
What you do is trick people to come along with you for the ride and then kind of surprise them with it towards the end, by which point they're already on board. And so,
I mean, it's... you would get cancelled for it if you were, like, on TV.
I'd ever been commissioned, I'd be cancelled. Yeah. But I haven't, so all they can do is just throw me off YouTube. That's the worst thing that anyone can do.
Yeah, and it feels like even if that happens, there's enough people behind it. And I don't, you know, and I think it's... There's comedians who get into this nasty stuff and are coming from a weird angle, and then you look at their audience and you think, yeah, you've got an audience full of cunts and that's why they're enjoying this actual shit stuff. But your audience seem like... I mean, there's a lot of them here. I mean, they look quite like my audience.
I don't know. Some of them are in the dark at the back. Yeah. Is they're the ones you want to worry about.
I mean, they're not... I mean, it's better that they're at home rather than out. But it's... But, you know, that's a good judge of it, I think, when you see the kind of people who are coming to... You can... Sometimes someone goes that a shocking way, and there's no subtlety behind it, and that seems a weird thing to say to you. To talk to you about subtlety seems like
a lot of nuance.
there is. There's amazing nuance. Did you really genuinely try and do a kids version, a kids album of your songs, or was that a joke?
No, I did. I had a kids album all written. Then I went swimming with my iPhone and lost a lot. but during lockdown, because I was doing these kind of online shows in lockdown, I resurrected a couple of them. Pat the Dog, and A Lonely Mouse in the Travel Lodge. So someone suggested to me it should have been A Lonely Nap in a Travel Cot.
A lovely nap for the travel lodge. That would be good. Well, you know, good luck with that. I mean, they are, you know, they're very... I think kids would enjoy these tunes. I think that's a very good point. So I think that would be nice.
People have sent me videos of their kids enjoying the tunes shortly before they're taken into care.
But say, look, I think so. Like, I sucked off a bloke. And I didn't like it. I wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously you don't get permission to use the tunes. Did you get to Katy Perry say, can I do a parody of this song?
No.
What's the legality of it? You're just hoping
what you have to do is just do it, because no one's ever going to sue me, because it would just give me publicity. It's the same with Prince Andrew. You can just say whatever you want about him.
Yeah.
And he's not going to sue you because he wants to stay out of court.
Yeah. If anything, he'll just pay you off.
I'll settle.
12 million with your stuff. But what, you know, I think again, you could do I sucked off a bloke and I didn't like it. Could be a very different song. But there's a sort of element to that that we think you probably did quite like it. And there's and as it goes as it goes on, it's like it would have been fine if he washed it. And it's, so it's like it's quite a. It's, you know, it's an open song. It's an accepting song. It's not like I, you know, I being gay is. It's like, oh, I had to do this thing and it wasn't very nice because the it was a builder with this horrible cock. But I might have liked it. I think that's, you know, it's, that's what I mean. It's quite, sort of progressive to be doing.
And also, it's just so ridiculous. You can't really if you try and take it too seriously, you know.
But is it? But also, like the original. I mean, I've got a problem with Katy Perry's stuff because it's sort of aimed at kids, and I've got kids. My daughter loves Katy Perry, but it's all fucking disgusting. It's ruder than you are. Katy Perry stuff. It's all about cocks, and it's all about lesbian. You know, like I kissed a girl and I liked it. It's not. That's just titillating for.
Yeah.
For, you
but
know.
They're great. They're great
they're,
tunes.
They're really
good
tunes. They're good tunes, but it's all about. It's basically every song is about spunking cocks. She's, you and her should get to
and do an album called Every Song Is About Spunking Cocks.
You should definitely do a thing together.
I'm
but
happy to be billed second if that happens.
Yeah, okay. we'll see if I can get in touch with her and suggest it to her. But that's, you know, but that so I think it's a nice parody of that because, you know, it's what she's doing is. You know, is she's doing a children's album that is that isn't as subtle as yours.
Pop has been about sex in it since the dawn of time. You know, with like Elvis kind of wiggling his hips, like it has always been about that. It's not a new thing, is it?
But she's so aimed at, you know, she is trying. She's doing the same thing as you. Cat. The reason it works for you is because it's exactly the kind of tune you would do, and then did do. and the kids, you know, little kids, like tiny kids like it. I mean, it's
fine. I like the fact that you think Katy Perry's more likely to get a call from Operation Jewberry than me.
I'm more embarrassed listening to her music in the car than yours. I think we could get away with it listening to your stuff just about. And, you know, I think like, again, something like Paul Stevenson's Party. That's a wonderful story about that everyone will relate to. That is about those kind of crazy house parties that I think again went on more last century than this century.
Yeah.
I think where you would go and destroy someone's house.
Because just because their mum and dad are away.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no one to stop you.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was one of those parties where you just kind of you turn up and they realise that. There's no one regulating.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, everyone that turned up got in. And I remember just walking through to the kitchen. There was a bloke opening, like, the front-loading video player and just cramming a banana into it. And then you go through the kitchen and someone was buttering Jacob crackers and retiling the kitchen. And a bloke was just spinning around with his bottle of tomato sauce. I mean, it was just carnage.
Yeah.
And Paul was just asleep on the sofa the whole way through it, and while his house just got wrecked around him.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and it's you don't even talk about it, but it's imagining his parents coming back and finding all this disaster and, you know, what the repercussions of that. We, at Brian Bancroft's house, we had his parents went away and left us having parties at his house a lot. And we used, the thing we did was drew Cox behind some of the pictures on the wall so that they would... That they'd be there, and they'd be there for a good while, and then when that picture got taken off, there would be a cock there, probably 10 or 15 years later, and the family would wonder what had happened. But yeah, I mean, some crazy shit happened in those that kind of thing. Yeah, it's extraordinary stuff. Let me ask you some emergency questions before we go back to talking about your illustrious career. What's coming next? Oh, it's doing pretty well, actually. Oh, no, my page has come out. That's a disaster. I wonder... Yeah, I guess it has. I'll ask you this one instead. If you could, well, like a caterpillar and could go into a chrysalis and come out as anything, what would you come out of as the chrysalis if you could go into a chrysalis and come out?
Like a successful pop star. not like Ed Sheeran, but like, you know, like a good one.
Yeah. I mean, no, I think... Do you think you could be... I mean, do you think this act could become...
No.
No.
I've gone through all the permutations hundreds of times and the answer's always no.
But the music's good, right? So you're a very good musician. The actual music is catchy and good. You could not call yourself Cunt and the Gang.
It'd be a massive climb down. Like after being, you know, it's just watering it down. When you try and kind of water things down so people like them, it just never fucking works, does it?
I guess, but it's, you know, but in a sense, I know, you know, you've come back to it and it's kind of gone better than in the last 4 or 5 years. It's probably got bigger than it was even in the 15 years you did it before, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's growing. I really, you know, I'm a big fan of using the internet to do stuff, and for exactly the same reasons as you, really. I mean, it's sort of interesting that you felt like the doors were all closed to you. And I know you talk about Avalon, who are manage me.
Oh, that was very early on, though. Yeah. Like, that was when I sort of put my first album out and just sent it, you know, because someone said send it to Avalon. And just got such a rude, dismissive email. Yeah.
That's what they're like. They're horrible.
Just like, give up, mate. I've a big one's done it. Why do you want another one? Yeah. Fuck off.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised they're usually quite good at spotting stuff, but I can see they didn't need to be so rude to you. I have to say, but they are.
Are you apologising on their behalf?
No, I'm not. They're horrible cunts. but I can see, you know, I think maybe they would probably want a commercial twist on it, and I think that's probably the truth of it.
I do get why if someone sends you a CD of a song called Use My Arsehole as a Cunt, you might think that there's no commercial possibilities for
but
it.
They did represent Jerry Sadovitz.
Oh, really?
To begin with, yeah. So I used to gig with Jerry Sadovitz 20, 30 years ago because he'd headline and I'd support him sometimes, you know. And they got him a TV show. They did get him onto TV.
But he wasn't called Jerry Cuntovich, was
he? He wasn't. I don't think getting onto TV is, you know, is the, A, it's not the right thing for you, but I don't think it's as big a deal as what you're actually doing. I think TV is just fading away as an idea anyway. And if you can get something online, it's just getting it out to more and more people, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the recent songs are doing that. They must be getting more and more people to your online work. And then you seem to be doing, you do a lot of merch and things like that, and obviously the book. And you're in control. You're in control of, you're your own publisher, right?
So yeah.
For your music as well.
Yeah.
So you're getting any money that's coming in. I don't know if there's a lot of money coming in.
No, it's not much.
No.
It's sort of like, because you've got lots of little revenue streams, you know, that kind of makes up a living. But, you know, this idea that you can make any money off music, like the only reason I kind of did it all those years was because I was doing it on my own, and sort of since having put a band together, you just realise how it's really fucking hard to get people to pay money to have a band on, you know, and by the time you pay, you know, because you want to sort of give the guys playing in the band something decent. It's, you know, I'd never ever have got it off the ground if I'd have had a band, but it was only because it was me with a suitcase and little cunt in, you know, that it sort of was able to do it all those years.
Well, you know, is it something you're going to push on with and carry on with, or is it are you feeling like the momentum's there? Because it feels like it is, right?
No, I'll just kind of carry on. I mean, it's just if something's interesting, then you know, you sort of carry it on, and it feels really good at the moment. Like I like the idea of just, you know, being an irritant to the cunts in control.
Yeah.
And just making life awkward for them. Just being that person, just going like, hello, look, he's a fucking nonce. The Queen's son's a nonce, haven't you noticed? No, he hasn't got COVID, he's a nonce.
But it's good, you know, it's a role and it's a comedic role. It's, you know, it's a prop. It does feel like it feels like the proper court jesters of the old, and that they would say the actual thing that you couldn't say, and sometimes get executed as a result. I mean, that could happen.
Yeah, I come past the tower tonight on my way, and kind of gave it a cursory glance.
And so, like, no, do people not know? There's nothing about who you really are, right, online, or is that, or am I? Could I just not find it? We don't know what your real name is. Or do people know what your real name is?
Some people might know, but I just kind of think the fun in it is, like, once you find out who Father Christmas is, it's fucking rubbish. life is ultimately fucking bleak and rubbish. And so anywhere you can just find a little bit of magic to cling on to get you through it. Like, why would you want to know, you know, like, when you see the Wizard of Oz, he's just some cunt behind a curtain. It's just not that interesting, you know.
No, it's, you know, it's quite unusual to not, you know, I know you worked as a council worker in Basildon, and is about the only, and there's a few little bits in the autobiography of the guests that give away some slight biographical details, like your uncle went to Oxford and is a CBE, So, you know, that'd be enough. That's the starting point. We can unravel the thread. It's not like Kendo Nagasaki because it's your actual it's your actual face, right? So it should be. No one's that bothered, I think, is that to find out.
Ultimately, I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Oh, I could find half. It's a little bit of work. It's a tiny bit of work. But, you know, that's quite unusual. And I like it. I mean, it is.
No, but it's because I've been massively fucking unsuccessful. That's how I've got away with it.
But you would think, like, that, you know, you'd think that if the YouTube had pulling you off, I was going to say, but that's not right. If YouTube had taken your stuff down and, you know, you'd think, and you're getting into the charts, you'd think the tabloids would start sniffing around you a bit to try and knock you down.
But the thing is to knock me down, they'd have to let people know about it in the first yeah. place. And they just don't want people to know. Like the Prince Andrew song recently, the Daily Mail didn't write about it like at all.
Right.
They didn't even mention it. And it's because the tabloids kind of feed people their worldview, you know, just to kind of keep them buying the newspaper. And they don't want to give them anything that's going to upset them. And so I do sort of, you know, I've sort of worked out how it all works. But it's fucking rubbish. The idea of, you know, you looking at a newspaper and them not telling you something just to kind of be an arm around the shoulder and kind of keep you all right. It is fucking rubbish the way the media works.
It is. I mean, I guess the only counterpoint to that is you are still able to do it. I mean, that's the only, like in certain societies, you wouldn't be able to even do this.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Like Britain in 3 or 4 years' time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I agree. You know, it sort of is slightly sinister and weird, but it's a bit like the Sex Pistols with God Save the Queen. It's the same sort of thing that the you know, there is that thing when it, especially comes to the royals, that there's a protective thing around them where, you know, but given the papers have been just writing about nothing else than Prince Andrew, it seems weird for them not to have you just bluntly saying what they've been hinting at for the last couple of years.
No, but they just don't want to give us the publicity.
Yeah.
You know, they want to tell everyone he's a sweaty nonce, but just not in those blunt terms.
Yeah. It's interesting stuff. Right, I'll ask you a couple more emergency questions. I've got to ask you, cunt, have you ever tried to suck your own cock? I haven't asked anyone that for a while, but
I'm very tall.
Yeah, you are. So you should be able to bend over further.
I've spent a lot of time in travel lodges. Well, everyone's tried, but yeah, I just haven't.
Yeah, no,
yeah, no, 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 I've got the length. I had a guy come up to me in at the Bird's Nest in Deptford, a venue in South London, and tell me that the way you do it is you get a headboard with slats on. And then that way, like a Chinese gymnast being forced kind of further down every day, you get your feet down one more slat every week. And that's how you manage it.
Okay, well, it's good to know. You should try it. People think someone just tried over there, so the cops popped their back. Oh, I was good. There was you were assassinated with a water pistol full of piss.
Yep.
Well, tell us that story.
So I did a tribute song for Amy Winehouse.
Okay.
called Amy, It's a Terrible Shame. And it was about 6 months after the event. I was doing a gig in Highbury and Islington, just opposite Highbury and Islington Tube. And I was just sat chilling out before the gig. And this bloke just kind of emerged from nowhere. He's kind of a short little bloke in a beanie hat. And he held up this newspaper saying, "Insult to my Amy." On the front page, which as later turned out, it was about some fashion show where the models were dressed as Amy Winehouse.
Okay.
So he held this up, and I just sort of went, yeah, nice one. And he just pulled this water pistol out, and he pointed at me and just started squirting it. And so I went, yeah, nice one, mate, and sort of got up to put my finger over the end of it. And then he just went, "It's my piss, it's my piss, it's my actual piss." And so I just went like clump and lumped him and knocked him over. And my mate sort of pulled me off him because I was sticking the boot in. And he got up and just like ran up the stairs. And I just sort of ran after him, just not really knowing whether I wanted to catch him or not.
Yeah.
And I said to the bouncer, went, "Are you all right, mate?" I went, "No, I've just been assassinated with piss." And he went, "Oh, what, that bloke there? Yeah, he just ran past me a minute ago. I wonder what he was doing." Yeah, so that was it.
I mean, he had a piss into a water pistol, first of all, so it's not that... He's lost already, hasn't he? So he definitely got some of his own piss on himself.
Oh, I hope so.
Definitely. You can't fill those things without spilling a bit around it. Yeah. If he's filling it direct from his penis as well. I don't know if he pissed into a glass and then poured it in. But
with a funnel.
Even that, there's gonna be some spilling.
That does give me some comfort.
I had a thing where a guy, similarly, like a guy, he was drunk and annoying in Edinburgh, and he was started being rude to the girls we were with, so I told him to leave, and then he left, and he came back, and he poured a pint of warm liquid over my head, which I thought was piss, and I think like if that happens in a film, the person just stands there and goes, oh, but if it happens in real life, and you think someone's got piss on you, you try and attack them.
Yeah.
And so I think he was really surprised that I tried to get him. But, you know, you similarly, you must have thought, I'm going to shoot you with piss, and then not thought, then he'll hit me in the face.
But no, but every time I've had a lone assailant, they're always surprised when you do anything back.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're a big guy. I wouldn't. If I was going to, I'd have to. It'd have to be a long-range super soaker. I could get you, like, President Kennedy from the... I'd be up at the balcony. We'd have to have two shooters.
You could come close, because I've got long legs, but I'm not that quick.
Okay. And I like the story about you... because you remember... I think the videos, is a reason why these songs have really... You know, you got into actually making videos of these... things quite early, which was a bit of luck, really, wasn't it? Because
you had
a guy who was sort of helping you out.
I just met a local guy who was kind of into, you know, just starting off making videos, and so he sort of came on board and helped us with all the videos.
Yeah, because the video. No, I think again, Lonely Wanking and Travelodge. What's wonderful about it is the sax player coming out of the behind the curtain. You know, it's beautifly shot.
Sax is a lonely instrument, isn't it?
it's, but there was in the book you talk about were throwing a body off a car park, right?
This was for the Fucksticks video because I'd been reading a book about Alfred Hitchcock, and he always said, like, at the end of at the end of a film, he'd have, like, you know, a stunt or a location, you know, like what's the mountain with the presidents on?
Yeah, Rushmore.
Yeah. And so I thought, right, we need something big at the end of this thing. So I thought, right, I'm going to throw an effigy of myself off a car park and make it look like I've fallen off a car park. And so we stuffed this a bodysuit full of pillars and duvets and wrapped them up like really tight, so it was really fucking heavy. And take my jacket and hair onto it. And then, you're all right. And then we took it up to the top of the multi-story car park in Grays. And Mike, who was doing the videos, was filming from this bridge that was kind of like halfway up to the car park, and my sister Lil was filming from like down on the ground in the little slip road along the side of the car park, and I went up the top and I said, right, coast clear, and they both give me the thumbs up, and I hoid this big body over, and as I've done it, Mike's gone, no, stop, and these two old ladies have come round the corner and thought they'd seen someone plummet to their doom. And because my sister was the one on the ground, they just had a massive fucking get. Like, you idiot, what were you doing? We thought we just saw someone kill themselves.
It's good, and they could have had a heart attack and died. It would have been a brilliant story. the book is terrific. I'm like about 60% of the way through because I only discovered it today. That's poor research on my behalf. But I've really been enjoying listening to it today. So I do. You can get it on Audible. You can get it presumably.
I think you can just get it on Audible, but I need to just sort something else out.
Right. Can you get the physical book though? Is the book for sale as well, or is it?
No, I need to sort it out.
Yeah. You call Calvin Harris Calvin Klein in it. That's the only thing I noticed. That's why. That's what made me think he hasn't got a publisher, because they would have pointed out.
I did do that on purpose.
I wasn't sure. And you know, there's lots of. I love the philosophy of "It's just a butterfly." That's not a song about wanking. That's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
That's why it shows a sensitive side, but also like this rationalist.
Yeah. That was my mate Jill, who plays guitar for us now in the band. He's always complaining about things that people say. You know, like when someone says, "My wife made me a homemade pie," he's like, "Well, of course she did. she's your wife, and she hasn't got a factory." And he came round one day just complaining about people that think butterflies are deceased relatives. and this little light bulb just appeared above my head, and yeah, like, yeah, so yeah, that's how the song came about.
But you know, again, it's about there's a sort of nihilism and there's a but it's realism and nihilism, isn't it, together in these songs, and it is about the way, you know, it's just like you die and you're dead and get over it, grow up. Basically, that's the message.
It's fucking rubbish, isn't it? But you know, we'd all like to think that our relatives come back as robins and butterflies. It would be really comforting, but fucking grow up.
Yeah. So like, but what's great about it is you go, why are you not saying the worm and the beetles? You say you pick on the other insects.
Oh no,
that
no.
People
My dad sadly passed away in November. So like every time, you know, a wasp kind of comes around, you're like this. Don't swear, it could be my dad. That's what he would have wanted.
But I think, you know, it's interesting, and I think it's a real comedian's way of coping with stuff. And some, you know, and it's not for, like, it's really not for everyone.
Some
people want to have that veil, some people want to pretend everything's lovely, some people don't want to joke about the dark subjects. But as a comedian, I think there's, you know, like you've said, you know, a girl, you know, dying, and your twin brother dying. It's, you know, some people would want to leave that behind, but it's a sort of comedian's instinct to. I mean, you know, I've got a puppet of my lost testicle, so it's exactly the same thing. It's like most people go, oh, I'll shut up about that and I won't talk about
it. Has he got a name?
It's called Right Bollock. So he's available if you want to put him in the video. But it's a really, you know, I'm not sure it's the right way to cope with what's happened to me, but it's an interesting way to cope with what's happened to me. And I think it's, you know, but I think that's the comedian's instinct, that you would go, okay, this is a terrible thing, but it hasn't killed me, I'm still here, what can I do to make people laugh with it? And I think there's a sort of catharsis to this. And I think, you know, even in that Butterfly song, you say at the beginning, it's nice for people to, you know, can understand why people think it's a nice thing to think, but here's what I think about it. And it would be so good to say that to someone out there, grandma. and you're using Love Is Like a Butterfly as well as a sort of going through it.
Yeah, so. No, that's just an added little layer, you know, to use that.
It's a beautiful song. As you know, as many of them are. So it's what have you got coming up in the future? What are you?
The most pressing thing is I wrote a musical.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up. Yeah.
So I wrote a musical in 2010 about the Shannon Matthews disappearance.
Yeah.
called Shannon Matthews the Musical. Yeah. And clearly no one was ever going to put it on. So I recorded it as like an audio CD, and over the last 12 years I've just sold the CD. And then a girl who runs a theatre company in York got in touch last year and said, I'd like to put Shannon Matthews the Musical on in Edinburgh. And she's been sectioned since. But no, it appears to all be going ahead in Edinburgh. But we had some sort of like preview shows booked for Leeds, because she was sort of talking about doing some preview shows in London. I just thought it was it's a bit weird, kind of. You know, Edinburgh's like largely a bit of a middle class arts festival, to then do the previews in London and not give Yorkshire people a chance to go and see this Yorkshire story. But that turned out to be a really misguided way of thinking. The thought process sounds all right when you explain.
I was trying to be nice. What's wrong with you?
Oh, you ungrateful cunts. You deserve to be out at 2 o'clock in the morning in your pyjamas. so the local newspaper went straight to the residents of the Dewsbury Moor estate and didn't give them any of the facts, just kind of gave them a couple of lyrics and got some angry, you know, some angry reactions. And the local MP and a member of the council just got them to say disgusting and all those kind of things. And then, they got the venue to basically cave and not show it. But we've got another venue, but I'm just not putting it out there.
But that's bad if they don't put the show on. But it's sort of, in a way, what you want as well. Certainly for Edinburgh, which will not be worried about anything. No one will stop you doing it in Edinburgh, I don't think. Though occasionally things have been stopped in Edinburgh. Yeah, I don't think they'll stop.
There's been one venue cave already.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we had to go and find another venue.
Right, okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a musical about Henry VIII killing all his wives, isn't there? That people are enjoying that one.
So yeah.
It's a
fairly recent tragedy.
Yeah, it's an historical. There's stuff about the, you know, Jack the Ripper. I'm sure there's musicals about Jack the Ripper, aren't there? So why not? And this, no one died in.
No, it's a story about a missing kid with a happy ending. You can have your cake and eat it.
But it's, you know, they've done a serious drama about it.
No, exactly.
What's the difference? I mean, it's, you know, I can say, I know people are going to go, oh, because the real girl might see it and be upset. But, you know, she's not going to be as upset as what actually happened to her, for a start. This guy's gone. There. Actually, he looks a bit like the guy. I think it was the guy.
What, the one who had her in the bed
yeah,
place?
Or you've just given him the idea. All right, actually, maybe we should try that again. It's a bold thing to write a musical about. Certainly, like at the time, it's basically at the time you wrote it originally.
Yeah, but I don't sort of go looking for the ideas. The ideas, I'm sure you know, the ideas sort of find you,
yeah.
And then sometimes they just kind of prod you until you exercise them. And that was one of those ones. I had a couple of ideas for songs, and I was just like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. It's too much. It's too much work to write a musical. And then, you know, I had three or four ideas for songs. You start to think, no, this could actually be a thing. And then, like, when once I kind of got over that thing of, I mean, Karen Matthews, obviously, you know, like you say about the Operation U-Tree, but they're odious individuals. But if you just, you know, like Rigsby was an odious individual and David Brent was an odious individual and Jill Tyrrell from 99, but you can still find comedy in it, but it's because Karen Matthews is a real life person, yeah. You know, just turning her into someone who's just like this fame hungry person that just kind of wants everyone to love her. You know, it really satisfying to write. And
but equally, I bet the people who are complaining about it won't have seen it yet or heard it yet.
No.
You know, they've just decided, and which is, you know, I think if they go and see it and they go, no, this is, I'm sure, I haven't seen, I mean, I've heard a couple of the songs.
He's excellent.
Yeah, I'm sure it's excellent. But I'm also sure, knowing you, I'm, you know, there's more to it than just like the shock value of let's do this. I'm sure, you know, just from what you've said there, that, you know, that's, it's a morality tale of our time.
Yeah, it's not celebrating what they did in any way, but it's just finding a humorous slant on it and finding an angle that enables you to kind of go into the story and just laugh. I mean, some of the fucking stuff that happened in it, like, you know, her partner Craig Meehan overdosing on cowpole. You know, and like her dancing to the policeman's ringtone, and you know, you just like those things are just so fucking ridiculous. The idea that you can't laugh at them, it just seems a bit weird to me.
Yeah, I agree. So that's gonna. Whereabouts is it gonna be in Edinburgh? Because this is gonna go just
the Tonic at the Caves. One of them ones.
Yeah. And are you performing in it, or is it?
No, I'm not.
So it's all other people doing it.
Yeah, it's all other people doing it, and then I'm just gonna kind of go up for a couple of spells and just sit and enjoy it.
What time's it on?
Midnight.
Peak slot.
Peak slot.
The peak slot for dark, dark, terrible humour. Well, look, we'll definitely go and see that if you're in Edinburgh. I think it'll be before it's cancelled.
Yeah, go and see it at the start.
Go and see it very early on. And look, good luck with everything. I hope, you know, I'm sure you'll be back with more horrible songs about.
I hope so. Sorry.
Well, I mean, you know, I think the Boris Johnson thing, probably you've got another 20 years of being able to sing a different song about him every year.
Well, he'll just change the rules until he stays in, won't
he? Yeah, absolutely. So he's not going anywhere. So good luck in getting him out. You know, it just shows that satire can't do a fucking thing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't do a fucking thing. But you've just got to keep chipping away, haven't you? Like, because otherwise you just give up.
Yeah. And I think on that point, we should end the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause for Cunt and the Gang from Cunt and the Gang. It's Cunt you. The folk hero. Thank you very much. We'll see you in next week's show. We'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.